Well, everybody, welcome to episode 252 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to our good friends at Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. We're going to break down the Boise State basketball tournament tonight. Later on, I'll be visiting with a special guest who will help me break down all the matchups in Class 4A. But right now, we're going to focus on Ankeny's quarterfinal matchup against Dubuque Senior with my first few guests. And leading off is the head coach of the Hawks, and he has guided the team to a 17-6 record and a number 8 ranking. He's Brant Carlson. Coach, thanks for joining me again. How are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Well, we're about 40 hours away from tip-off on Wednesday at 12:15, and I imagine you guys will just do a light walkthrough tomorrow. So do you feel like your team is prepared to play?
They have to be, I guess, at this point. You know, this time of year, sometimes you can do too much, both mentally and physically. So I think our guys are in a good physical place, and they're sharp. They're ready to go, and as far as scouting goes, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, your team is playing its best basketball of the season. You guys have won 7 games in a row, including 2 double-digit victories over Centennial, yet another double-digit win over Johnston, which is another Class 4A qualifier, and you had a huge win over the defending state champs at Valley. You know, I don't know how much you believe that momentum can carry over from one game to the next, but especially now that you've had a week off, but you guys certainly have it.
It does. I mean, momentum is real, and there's no question about it. Even when we had that 11-day break, I just felt like those guys just were confident in what they were doing. And it helps, again, when you have senior leaders, guys that have played a ton of games, and it also helps when the ball goes in the basket. So, you know, it's one of those things down there, obviously a little different shooting venue, but at the same time, we've played in some venues like that, and a couple guys have played in that building. So we're looking forward to that challenge, and you know, the record in a sense is 0-0, but I think momentum is definitely real, and we're going to use it to the best of our ability.
Well, unlike your last game, when you were very familiar with your opponent, you're now playing a team that you haven't seen. You know, in fact, I'm not sure if Ankeny has ever played Dubuque Senior in its history. You know, does that make the preparation a little more difficult?
It does. I mean, I feel like, you know, you have to talk to a lot of people, or you have to watch a lot of film, and you have to assume some things. But at the same time, basketball still is basketball, and we feel like they have to guard us as well. And we have to give our guys a lot of confidence. And oddly enough, I know Coach Eimer's well. He coached me when I was in high school for a year, and so it's been nice to kind of, I guess, have a chance to go against him a little bit. He's been there for a long time and done really, really well. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, Coach Fontan told me he's a real old school coach. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. No, it's going to be a fun strategy game on both sides, and I would think very entertaining. So,
well, Senior's led by a pair of 6'6 post players. Jacob Williams averages 16.6 points, and Tevin Schultz averages 14.8, and nobody else averages more than 7 points per game. So is this a team that really likes to pound the ball inside? It doesn't look like they shoot a lot of threes.
No, they're going inside, and it's as you said, old school, and I would say that's the case. Their post players are traditional post players, and they're going to go at you in a lot of different ways. And so that's going to bring a new challenge to our guys, to really make them understand that they're not going to go away from that. They're not going to change and go into some spread attack thing. That's what they do. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's, again, a challenge. Flex cuts and the high-low and the ball screen into rolls. So, I mean, it's things that they maybe haven't seen. I know Ankeny fans from long ago love the flex, and I think that's going to be something that they'll appreciate. So they run it well, and they're 21-2 for a reason. So,
well, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Cade Peterson, who's really become a defensive and rebounding specialist for you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, he averages more rebounds than points, and he leads your team in blocks. You know, so you're going to need another big game from him, aren't you?
Big time, and just really some of our guards that are going to have to be in that mix as well. I think that, again, putting our guys in positions to be successful is huge, but sometimes the team that you're going against is going to try their best to do the opposite. So I think at the end of the day for us, it's, we got to stick with some of our base strategy things that we try to do. We're trying to really stick with our fundamentals, so we're not overtraining or changing a lot of things, and just trust the process, and hopefully there's some guys that struggle from the perimeter for them, and we can sag off a little bit more and help. So that's going to play itself out throughout the game for sure.
Well, I don't think you guys have played much zone defense this year, but because Senior is a team that makes fewer than 5 three-pointers per game, you know, it seems like they might be a team that you could defend with a zone, and I don't want you to give away your game plan, but is that something you thought about?
You always think about it. You know, it's kind of interesting here at Ankeny. It's been quite a number of years that I felt like a zone would work. I don't know. Sometimes guys just like to play man and then keep their kind of personal responsibility. So we're definitely looking at all options. But at the end of the day, it's just going to become a a toughness, you know, game. You're really gonna have to put yourself in some tough situations. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a brand new challenge for us, and one that we're going to have to come through in a big way in order to win.
Well, of course, back in 2020, your Ankeny team won the Class 4A title in pretty stunning fashion, knocking off three higher-seeded teams, including a Waukee team in the final that was led by Tucker DeVries and Peyton Sanford. You know, if your team is going to duplicate that feat, you'll have to again win three games in 3 days, which is obviously no easy task.
Right.
Now, you guys don't typically go very deep into your bench, but, you know, you're going to need guys like Luke Anderson and Nolan Dalton to give you some big minutes this week, aren't you?
For sure. And there's probably going to be another guy or two. You just never know. I look back at 2020 and, you know, Ron Mamouya was a guy who didn't play a ton that year and had to play in that first round game because of foul trouble and just did a wonderful job. And just different guys I keep remembering too that just were huge impact people that might have been 30 seconds here and there, but it's what you need to have. So every guy is ready, and you know, you just never know how a game's going to go. So I think that's a great point, great question, and something that I think all of our guys hopefully will continue to appreciate about each other.
Well, that 2020 team was led by Braxton Bayless, and he poured in a career-high 41 points in the quarterfinals against Iowa City West, and he was eventually named the captain of the all-tournament team. You know, your team this year is led by another guard, Carson Johnson, who was the top scorer in Class 4A. And I know those guys are different players, but they have produced at pretty similar levels this year.
Yeah.
And like Braxton, Carson is surrounded by some guys who can shoot the three, and that takes some of the pressure, you know, off of him. Did you see any similarities between the two teams?
I do. I think there's a definite uniqueness to both of them, but at the same time, there are some very strong similarities in their roles, how they lead and how they play and how they really compete, you know, especially within a game. There's just a great amount of fight within them and a poise that's really impressive. And so I think 2020's team got really, really strong the last 2 weeks of the season into the tournament, and this team has done the exact same thing. And I think, again, that's leadership by the young guys, by our young men, and just really seeing a bigger picture. And that's a fun comparison, and we'll see what this group can do.
Well, if you guys are fortunate enough to win on Wednesday, you would then advance to Thursday's semifinals against number one Cedar Rapids Kennedy or Dallas Center Grimes. Mm-hmm. Now, DCG advanced to state by upsetting Waukee, and you guys lost at DCG back in mid-January. So if they are able to pull off another shocker, you know, that would make your preparation a little easier, I would think. But if Kennedy advances, on paper, you'd probably have to pick them to win. You know, then you aren't going to have much time to prepare for them. So do you know much about them yet?
You know, just things that we've seen on film. We have watched them play over the years here, but they're just really good. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. They're just really good. I mean, they've really put some pretty impressive scores on some good teams, and just a group of guys that has probably five college players on it, honestly, in their starting group, and just guys that are multidimensional, really can shoot well, and they're big, 6'7", 6'5", in multiple places, and that's going to be an unbelievable challenge, and that's why I haven't thought a lot about it, to be honest with you, because I don't want to get too far ahead, but yeah, that would be a dream to play him, honestly. I just want to be in that spot.
Sure.
And go for it.
Well, Kennedy has only lost the one game in the last 2 years, and that came in the quarterfinals last year against Pleasant Valley. But you told me earlier this season that you felt like Valley was the most talented team in Class 4A,
yeah.
You know, even after they had lost a couple games.
Yeah.
And then your team went over there and beat Valley on February 9th. But they have since reeled off four straight wins, and they're in the bottom half of the bracket, so that's a team that, you know, could eventually emerge in the championship game.
Yeah.
Do you still feel like Valley's the team to beat until somebody does it?
I do, and I think that they believe it as well. I think even our game when we played them, I felt like Stinson had only come back a couple games, and it's one of those situations where they're so athletic, you know, and so talented, and when they make a choice to get serious about it, they're going to be pretty impressive. And I think they're getting serious because they're in the tournament and they don't want to lose, and that's a scary group, you know, ultimately, but it'd be a dream to play them again too. You know, at the end of the day, it's one game at a time, but you know, for us, it's all about trying to get to that final game and giving yourself a chance.
Well, it should be a fun week. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck down there, Brandt. I'll see you there.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, my next guest is a senior guard for the Hawks, and he's the leading scorer in Class 4A with an average of 23.4 points per game. He is Carson Johnson. Carson, thanks for joining me again. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. We scored 17 points in the sub-state final against Centennial. You know, so that wasn't one of your best offensive games of the season, but you helped hold Luke Winkle to just 7 points after he had scored 30 and 37 in the two previous games against Ankeny, and that was certainly one of the keys to the win. You know, I think you defended him more than you had in the previous two games. So was that a challenge that you wanted to take on that night?
Yeah, that was definitely a one that I wanted to take on. We know that he's a really good player, and we just wanted to make it really tough on him. Personally, I wanted to take the assignment on defense. It helped having a bunch of other guys like step up on offense and just like they carried it, and then that allowed me to just like lock in on defense.
Well, this guy sitting next to you, he stepped up that, and we'll talk to him here in a minute. But well, you've had a great season. You've really only had one hiccup, and that was when you injured your hand during a loss to Waukee Northwest in late January, and then you sat out your team's loss to Valley a few days later while you recovered. But you then came back with a vengeance in the next game. You scored 38 points in that win over Centennial, and your team has been on a roll ever since. I know that was tough for you to sit out that game against Valley, but you know, do you think in the big picture that was maybe beneficial for you to sit out and get off your feet for a few days just to kind of gear up for the grind?
Yeah, I think it helped. There's a reason for that everything happens, and looking back on it, it really got my legs back under me, allowed me to just like take a step back and just like refocus on the season, like think about the big picture. So I think, yeah, it did help in the long run. So,
and maybe it forced some other guys to step up a little bit too.
Yeah, for sure. It really helps when everyone like is out there contributing, and we know that anyone can do it on any given night. And just like me being out that one night gave other guys some confidence, I feel like.
We currently rank fifth in Class 4A with 62 three-pointers, and are shooting better than 47% from behind the arc. You've raised your three-point percentage by more than 5 points from a year ago. Now, I thought when the season started, you know, you just looked like a different player physically, and it was pretty clear that you'd added some strength. Do you think a lot of your improvement comes from that, you know, that work in the weight room?
Yeah, putting a lot of work in the weight room. That just with a bunch of other, like, just work in the gym, like getting shots up, just a lot of time, unseen hours, just, I don't know.
Well, Carson, we talked with Coach about the matchup with Dubuque Senior, and Rio Aguirre also told me for the Prep of the Week feature today that he thinks Senior is most comparable to teams like Waukee and Waukee Northwest from your conference, you know, just because both of those teams run their offense through the post quite a bit. So do you see some similarities between, you know, Senior's two big guys and either of those posts for, like, Waukee or Northwest?
Yeah, 100%. They have a lot of guys inside that can do a lot. They're very big, very physical. They play well together, and it'll be a challenge, like playing big that game for all of us, staying out of foul trouble, and then just like figuring out all of their actions that they run. We're excited for it, though. We feel like we're ready for it.
Do you feel like, you know, the key then is to contain those two big guys, maybe force some of those other guys to beat you?
Yeah, we want to get it out of their two bigs' hands. We know that they're very good. They do a lot for their team, so we just want to, like, we want to make them have other guys beat us. So.
Now, when you guys are on offense, you know, you've seen a lot of different defenses this year in an effort to stop you. You know, what have you seen from Senior's defense on film? How do you expect them to defend you?
They have a couple guys that'll like get out and pressure it. They have some big athletes out there. They can clog the lane up. They have those two bigs, like you said. So there'll be a lot of guys like inside the lane. So getting in the middle and finding out guys outside, that'll be a big thing. And then just moving it a lot, like spread them out.
Now, they're two big guys. Have you seen them play much zone on film?
We haven't seen them play a ton of zone. Like, they might switch it up against us, but as of right now, I think they'll just be in man.
Well, especially with the way you guys shot the three in the last game, I wouldn't think that they'd want to do that.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
You never know.
For sure.
Well, if you guys are able to advance, you would then possibly get a shot at number one Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and I'm sure you'd love the opportunity to play them. Do you know much about the Cougars other than the fact that they're ranked number one?
Yeah, we know they're a very good team for sure. I've played with a few of the guys on that team. It'd be fun to just play against some friends like that on a big stage. They've been good for a really long time, and it'd be a fun challenge.
Well, they've only lost one game in the last 2 years. I mean, what's it going to take for somebody to knock them off, whether it's you guys or somebody else?
Just a team to like play together. DCG's got a good chance to do, I think. They play really well together, and they play really similar to Kennedy. Kennedy plays really well together, and DCG has a good shot, I think. But if we get them, we know that we'll have to like move it a lot, and then like everyone's got to be there, bring it on defense, and like just play as a team.
Well, DCG, of course, was one of the teams that pulled off an upset in the sub-state finals. I mean, how surprised were you that you know, three of the higher-seeded teams lost that night?
I mean, not really that surprised. Anything can happen on any given night. Anyone can lose. Anyone can win. Like all those teams that won, they're really good teams, and we're not surprised to see them in the tournament. So,
do you think that shows that maybe this tournament is pretty wide open?
Yeah, it is wide open. Anyone can go get it. Anyone can like get hot at the right time and take a game. So,
well, it should be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck on Wednesday, Carson. I'll see you down there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You bet. My next guest is a senior guard for the Hawks. He's making his debut on the podcast, and he's averaging 12.7 points and a team-high 6.4 rebounds per game. He is Leo Aguirre. Leo, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. Pull the mic closer to you just so I can hear you good. There you go. Well, you've had some big moments in your career. You had that game-winning shot in overtime to beat Centennial 2 years ago, and when you were a freshman at Centennial, you scored 21 points in a huge victory early that season at Ames, which was ranked number 2 in the state at the time. You know, and that was kind of your coming-out party. You know, but I don't know if you've ever had a bigger game on a bigger stage than last week. You went 5 of 6 from three-point range. You scored 22 points in the win over the Jaguars. You know, where does that game rank on your list of career highlights?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about that, you know, with my best games throughout my 4 years, and it's probably that game and then the game winner from Centennial have been my best games.
Well, I just talked about this with Carson, but of course, after you guys beat Centennial, you know, I'm sure you're anxious to find out who you would play in the quarterfinals, and we soon found out that 3 of the higher-seeded teams, you know, did lose that night. You know, were you surprised by that?
Honestly, not really. I mean, looking at the teams who lost, I mean, Waukee played DCG. I think DCG is a really good team, really underrated. Johnston beat Sioux City East. I think both those teams play about the same way. So, you know, you can really never be surprised with the sub-state final.
Well, you and Carson were both sophomores on the Ankeny team that lost to Johnston in the quarterfinals 2 years ago. You know, do you remember much about that game? Any of the specifics? It went right down the wire, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I remember bits and pieces, but I just remember playing against Johnston and guarding Trey Lewis. And he was a pretty good player, and they had Stephen Kramer on that team as well. And it was a close game, but we couldn't pull it out.
Yeah, I looked up some of those details today. I know the free throws were a big thing. I think they made like 20 out of 22. It's tough to beat a team when they shoot like that, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, because you and Carson do have experience playing at Wells Fargo Arena, you know, what have you told your brother and the rest of your teammates about what it's like to play there? Do you have to adjust a little bit to the different background?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you really won't know until you're out on the court in warm-ups and about to play the game what it's like, and it's just a learning experience. And I'm glad that me and Carson have already been able to go through it so we can kind of explain to the rest of the team, like, to calm their nerves.
Well, we talked with Coach and Carson about the matchup against Dubuque Senior. You know, with their two big guys, I'm sure the rebounding battle will be one of the important things that decides this game. And, of course, you are the team's leading rebounder. Is this a game where you're going to have to focus even more on that than you normally do?
Yeah. I mean, in practice, I've been guarding their one of their bigs, and I've just been really working on boxing out every single play and getting to the elbows every play if I'm out on the wing, just trying to get as many rebounds as I can. It's going to be important for me, for Cade, for Cash especially, and all of our guards. Too.
Well, I asked Carson how he expected, you know, to be defended by Senior, and I'll ask you the same thing. You know, you're a versatile guy who can score both inside and out. Do you think they'll try to guard you with one of the bigs, or do you think they'll go with one of the smaller guys?
I really think they're going to go with one of the bigs. You know, I've been shooting well from three lately, but I think that the only way they can really guard us is putting someone quick on to Carson and someone big on me.
Well, if they do that, then you're probably going to be able to shoot from outside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you played on the Ankeny football team that upset Dowling in the playoffs and made a surprising run to the championship game in Class 5A. Did you see any similarities between, you know, the football team and this team? And do you think this team can make a similar run to the finals?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on a lot of teams, a lot of different types of teams my career, and every good team that I've been on, we've been really close as a team on the court and off the court. So, yeah, this team is, especially our football team this year, was really close off the field.
Well, like that football team, this basketball team seems to be getting hot at the right time, and that's the key too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of football, Leo, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. You've signed to play football at Clark. I know you told me that you're planning to play basketball there as well. Now, I know at the college level, those two sports are going to overlap, you know, somewhat. Do you think it's going to be pretty challenging for you to play both those sports at that level?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, I'll learn as I go on. I'll learn what I like and what I don't like. And I've been talking to a kid from Clark who's doing both right now. His name's Riley. He's kind of been explaining to me what his last year looked like, and I mean, it looks like something I can do, and I can kind of follow him, and he'll teach me a little here and there.
Sure. Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Leo, and good luck downstate this week. Yeah. I'll see you there Wednesday.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. MJ Properties is a sponsor of the podcast as well. And MJ Properties is also the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic Now. And we appreciate their support as well as their hospitality over here at the Standard Building, where we've been recording our podcasts since August of 2022. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a former longtime assistant boys basketball coach at Ankeny, and he has also done some scouting over the last several years for the Ankeny Centennial program, so he's very well acquainted with many of these teams in Class 4A. He is Dave Kissinger. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Better than today's weather, thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Well, hey, before we break down the Class 4A tournament, I did want to get to your quick thoughts on the sub-state final between the two Ankeny teams. I know I was expecting a close game, and it was until late in the third quarter, but boy, then Ankeny pulled away and just really dominated the fourth quarter. You know, their defense was really the difference in the game, wasn't it?
There's no question. That and the Jaguars had a very, very difficult time getting easy points at all. And it appeared that most of the 50-50 balls went to Ankeny, and they had a very solid game plan, and they played very well and deserved the win.
Yeah, I know the Jaguars couldn't get to the free throw line either. When you can't get easy points at the line, that makes it tough.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the Hawks also made 11 of 17 three-pointers, including 5 of 6 by Leo Aguirre. And if they can continue to shoot like that, you know, they might have a chance to make a deep run at state like that Ankeny team did back in 2020 when the Hawks went 22 of 39 from deep in the last two games and captured the Class 4A crown. This team is entering the state tournament on a 7-game winning streak. You know, do you think they're capable of winning 3 more games?
They're my pick.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I hate to take the drama out of it, but you know, I've looked at a number of statistics, and I see some, and we can review this as we go through, but I see some things that are in their favor. One of the best things that happened was a tremendous young man, and Mr. Johnson, his injury had occurred at a time when he was able to recover, and his game quite obviously hasn't suffered. So the other teams, that I know that Valley had some time when Mr. Stinson wasn't able to play. And I also was told that I think one of the other players, Robertson, I think, may have sprained an ankle late in the game. Who knows what the status of that's going to be?
Hmm.
They've got the leading scorer in the state. And, you know, you're talking about, you know, 4 or 5 months of consistency being the leading scorer in the state in Class 5A. And that's a very, very important thing. Defensively, they're playing well. And like you say, if the Aguirre brothers have a good shooting night. And the other thing about Ankeny is there are other spot players. You've got to guard them because they'll hit 2 or 3 a game if you allow them to.
Well, I talked with Coach Carlson about this. You know, I see some similarities between this team and the one from 2020 because, you know, that team with Braxton was surrounded by guys like Jordan Cum and Jackson Smith that could hit threes as well, and they got hot at the right time. And you know, I see a lot of parallels there.
Well, another thing I think is going to be a tremendous parallel, I look for them to drive the slot like they did then. By driving the slot, I mean driving from the wing area to the basket. He's worked this year a great deal on trying to finish as he's taken that physical bumping. And Lord knows in our conference you get bumped.
Oh, for sure.
But he can finish strong. He can pull up with that short jumper. Johnson. And I look for them to do the same type of thing. Plus, they've got the three-man game with the two Aguirres and Johnson, and then they have the other young man in the corners hitting the three-point shots. So they've got a good plan going in, I think. Not to say that they're going to execute it because I just said that I saw the similarities, but I see a lot of things that can go their way.
Let's take a look at that matchup against Dubuque Senior. The Rams are 21-2 on the season, and their only losses were to Cedar Rapids Kennedy in mid-January and then to Cedar Falls in early February.
Right.
But they've now won 5 in a row, including an 18-point win over a good Iowa City West team in the regular season finale. You know, do you know much about them?
Well, no, not much at all. I have some concerns. My concern is they have a point guard who's shooting greater than 50% from the three-point line, yet he's only averaging 7 points a game. So quite obviously, he's not getting many shots.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't understand. Their two regular season losses did come to teams over 500, you know, the one more than half their games. Their strength of schedule places them in the middle of the group that are playing. The two talls are going to get apparently 50% of the points. So if you get 7 coming from the guard and the rest coming from the two bigs, what's going to happen to the other two wings there? And that may be a big playing thing as it comes. I think that game may also be decided on the fact that Ankeny has been tested many times, many in many different ways too. So,
Yeah, I don't imagine Dubuque Senior's played the same kind of schedule that, that Ankeny has.
No.
Well, Coach Carlson was saying that they really do want to pound the ball inside, and the two bigs are both traditional big, you know, back to the basket players that, you know, they're going to have to keep out of that paint, and that's probably going to be tough.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but you know, you try to I think pick people up early, so they make that the angles on that path very difficult, or so you can get a lot of help with it too. And if you can get him in and run again, we'll see if the two big boys want to run very long, because Ankeny can certainly get you in a running game. They've shown this season they can slow it down and play that way if they need to, but they also can get you in transitions. They have a lot of guys also that like to drive.
Well, of course, Senior's going to have to match up with Ankeny as well, and I was talking with both Carson and Leo Aguirre about how they expect to be defended, and it will be interesting to see how Senior defends Leo Aguirre, because he's a guy that can score both inside and out. Do they bring one of the bigs out to guard him? You know, if they do that, then maybe he can continue to shoot the three, or if they put a smaller guy on him, then Leo can go into the post. So it's going to be an interesting matchup.
Yeah, you know, and the fact that they do have the two bigs and that Ankeny's got one pure big, it may come down to what fouls that stipulate to. They may be dictators in what happens in that play.
Well, this will be the first trip to state for most of the Ankeny players. Of course, Carson and Leo were both sophomores on the Ankeny team that lost to Johnston in the quarterfinals 2 years ago. So those guys do have a little bit of experience playing at Wells Fargo Arena. Carson had 10 points in that game against Johnston, and Leo had 7. Now, Leo had the big game last week against Centennial, but Carson was just 4 of 10 from the field and did most of his damage at the line, where he was 9 of 9. You know, but he's only had back-to-back games with under 20 points 2 times this season, so I kind of expect him to have a big game against Senior. And I don't imagine the Rams have seen too many guys like him, do you?
No, he's extremely consistent, very intelligent in the way he plays, does a tremendous job of trying to stay out of trouble defensively with fouls and things of this nature. And I think the game sets up well. They may get their tails kicked, but I think it sets up pretty good for them. And then what I look for out of the first game, I think that's going to – it has the ability to surprise people, and I'm saying that because there was a holiday scrimmage between Centennial, DCG, Pella, and Ames High. And DCG is very physical, very well coached, very disciplined in what they do. Quite obviously, aren't afraid to play the 5A's in our conference because they've done it and had some success. So I think that could be very interesting. What I think is going to happen in that game is what Kennedy likes to do is they like to take they only go about 7 deep from what I've been told.
Mm-hmm.
They really like to put a lot of pressure on you in the first quarter and leading into the second, till, you know, as long as they can, trying to get a big lead on you early. So you have to survive that first quarter. You have to survive that first punch in the face. You know, just say, hey, that's part of the game, and here we go.
Well, I know DCG took it to Ankeny. I didn't see that game, but back in January, they beat the Hawks, you know, pretty convincingly. And obviously, coming off that upset over Waukee, they're not going to be intimidated by anybody.
No, no. And to listen to their coach at the scrimmage, he's demanding. He reminded me a lot of Coach Ireland. You know, controlling what they were doing, but not backing down from anybody. So if something happens there, don't be a bit surprised. Hasn't Kennedy had some problems after the first round in the recent past?
Well, he did lose that first round game last year. Of course, that's their only loss in the last 2 years. They've been unbeaten otherwise. And, of course, they have 4 players averaging in double figures, another guy who is just under 10 points a game. You know, so they're really balanced. I know Coach Carlson said that he thinks they got 5 college players on that team, and they make about 10 threes a game. So, they've got to be a tough team to defend with that much balance and that ability to shoot from the outside.
Well, and when did the 10 threes occur? If it's something that we get way ahead and we start launching, you know, if we blow somebody out in the first half, that's, you know, are they at crucial times? And you know, it makes a little difference at the time of the game it is. But they have to be respected quite obviously very much so, because they've had tremendous success over the last couple of years. I do know this about the eastern side of the state, and that's this, that our teams have to play each other twice. They have a number of situations where they only play the other good good teams once.
Right.
We have no picnics. I mean, you better come with your hard hat and be ready to go to work when you come, because it's going to be physical. And I look for officiating could be a key, but I haven't seen anything that's shown me that it's not going to be much different than it is in college, either women and men's. It's going to be physical. So you better be strong. You better be deep. And I think in situations like this, the teams that have the best fundamentals usually are at an advantage.
Well, then on the bottom half of the bracket, defending champion Valley will play Johnston in an all-CIML battle. And I have to say that I'm surprised that Johnston made it to state, because they lost all four of their games against the Yankee teams by an average of 16 points. So I guess, you know, I never saw them at their best. And Valley appears to have righted its ship after they lost at home to Ankeny on February 9th. You know, the Tigers are just so talented, and they're obviously looking to defend their title. You know, do you think Johnston can give them any problems?
Well, I totally agree with what you're saying, but my concern, when I've seen Valley play, I saw them play against Centennial. I saw them play when they beat Ankeny after the injury to Johnson, and I've seen them on one other tape. They have a tendency sometimes not to take care of the ball very well. And in these games, especially if they're low scoring, you know, if you don't take care of that ball, then the number of opportunities you have to score is going to be, you know, it's going to be questionable. I have been told that they may have had a late injury to one of their stars. I don't know if it's true or not.
Robinson, you said?
Robinson is what I had heard. I don't know if that's true or not. I would hope in today's medicine they can get him back. I don't want anybody to lose because of lack of people being available because of injuries. But I don't know. But we must remember that Ankeny, about 3 weeks ago, went over to Valley and beat them.
They did, and that wasn't a fluke. I mean, they outplayed them.
Yeah, you know, and that goes along with the consistency that Ankeny has in what they're trying to accomplish with their offense and defense. And so, like, my concerns about them taking care of the ball, they've got a big, tall young man who sometimes plays very well, and sometimes he seems to disappear a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they do seem disinterested, I would say. But when they're at their best, I think they might be the best team when they're at their best. But
as Denny Tenor, who used to coach at Dwight Hoover, said, he said, sometimes I have a very difficult time keeping my young men excited for the entire season, but they can sure get excited for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Well, then the last quarterfinal matchup is between Cedar Falls and Bettendorf, and I'll be honest, I don't know much about those two teams other than the fact that Cedar Falls lost to Centennial on last year's sub-state final, and they've got a lot of those guys back this year. They did have an impressive win over Waukee Northwest in this year's sub-state final. You know, so I would look for them to advance. You know, do you have many thoughts on that one?
Yeah, they only had two road losses. Their strength of schedule, they were the 41st ranked school. In their schedule, they beat a Dubuque senior in early February, mm-hmm. which I think bodes in their favor. And I don't know squat about Bettendorf. So, you know, they, like you say, Joaquin Northwest at the end of the season was very up and down. But that isn't taking away from the Cedar Falls. I think concur with you that Cedar Falls, I would probably favor to come out of that other game.
Yeah, all I know about Bettendorf is that they played Ankeny in that tournament over at Cedar Rapids and got drilled by like 25. So
yeah, but I would imagine that people are looking all over at films. I mean, with YouTube and everything else, now you can watch film on just about everybody. And I would, if someone beat me that bad, I would want to see that film.
Sure. Well, if the seedings hold up, you know, we could get a matchup between Cedar Rapids, Kennedy, and Valley in Friday's championship game. The Cougars beat Valley 60-43 back in January in a game that was played at Waukee, but Curtis Stinson didn't play in that game due to an injury. And Valley is a team that doesn't have a lot of depth, so that was obviously a key factor. You know, I'm guessing if we get this rematch, it might be a different game, you know, but either of these teams would have to win 3 games in 3 days, and that's a tough task, especially for a team like Valley that doesn't go very deep on the bench. You know, if we do get that matchup, you know, how would you see that one?
If we get that one, well, first of all, Valley in a discussion with one of the coaches, they readily admit when they don't have Stinson at point guard, they're a completely different team. And they did not have him for the drilling that they they received earlier in the year. So, you know, I think a lot of that's going to come back down to the fact that the one tremendous advantage that Valley does have, besides being very, very talented, is the fact that they got about a five-minute bus ride to get to where they're playing. They're all going to be sleeping in their beds at night. And, you know, and everybody's in the same boat. They've got three games in 3 days if they're gonna play there. And so with that in mind, I would probably pick Kennedy.
Well, I'm sure,
but that isn't my pick for who I think is going to win the tournament.
Right. You already said you think Kennedy's going to win it. So, Kennedy's certainly on a mission. I mean, after losing in that first round last year, they got to be coming over here ready to take care of some business, I would think. But.
Well, you would think if someone says they have five college players, then they've certainly figured out a way to figure out how those five with their two other players, those seven, can fit into those roles that you must fit in if you're going to have a offense. And also, from what I understand, they do a lot of pressing, both half, three-quarter court, full-court pressing. And so you have to have young people that are willing to give up to play defense at that level too. So I would probably pick Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know Coach Carlson said he thinks that the Valley is the most talented team in the class, and that until somebody knocks them off, you know, they're maybe the team to beat. You mentioned the possible injury to Robinson. It kind of makes me think back to 2 years ago when Lipsy kind of hobbled into the state tournament, and people kind of wondered how much he was going to be able to play. And boy, Ames just rolled through that tournament. And you know, that Robinson kid is so talented too. I'm not saying he's as good a basketball player as Lipsy, because obviously he's not, but they're still such a talented team that if they get it going, I don't know, I think they're going to be tough to beat. But that's just me.
Yeah, it's but you know, it's, I know there's some talk of are they going to add a 10th team to the CIML? You know, so we have some scheduling issues, but the fact that every team in the CIML made it to the regional semifinal speaks volumes. So it's a quality ball. It's very, very intense. And of course, we also, I think, have to realize this has been a rather strange year. I mean, how many games had to be rescheduled? How many people were playing in situations where they did not get a night off either before or after the previous game? And it's also a little bit different when you get down there. When you get into that final game, when you go in at halftime, you're going to probably be in there 15, 20 minutes. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go in there and they're going to be giving away Hall of Fame and everything else out front. And you're going to have extra time. The one thing that Coach Ireland and I discovered the two back-to-back years that we got there, they were there for the final, is we took more time getting into the locker room at halftime than just rushing in like you don't really have your 10 minutes.
Right.
So there are some other things that are going on along with that too that you and your young people have to be aware of and take care of.
Well, I'm sure you feel that, you know, having that experience for those teams that have been there, you know, like Valley that won it last year, I mean, that experience has got to be beneficial. And of course, the Ankeny team has two kids that played there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be tremendously beneficial, I would think.
Yes. And you know what? It's interesting, we also have three teams very close to us from the Hawkeye Conference that are playing in the state tournament too. So we've got great basketball in Central Iowa. You can't escape it. You know, I know at one time, in looking to the girls, I think they had something like four or five for the year out of conference defeats. I mean, their record when they went on the road from the conference was, I think Urbandale was 5-0.
Right.
And they were at the bottom of the conference, 5-0 on the road. So it's been a tremendous season for basketball, and there's some rumblings going on about schools wanting. I haven't heard anyone wanting to get out of the CIML but I haven't anybody wanted to get into it either.
Well, if they did add another school, who do you think they would add?
Well, you know, I know they aren't ready to do it yet, but if you look at the growth pattern tells me that people are going to go in two directions. They're going to go either towards Norwalk, or they're going to come towards Dallas Center Grimes in DCG because of the fact that they're already playing that, you know, level.
Right.
Would be good. I'll tell you, if they do come in at some time, it would be a great addition because once again, there's no travel. I mean, you know, it isn't like the Mason City days.
Right. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I enjoy this new conference because I don't have to travel very far. So
it keeps your gas bill down.
It does.
And you
does.
Get home at night so you can get some of this stuff done before you have to go to bed.
Yep, for sure. Well, yeah, it should be a great tournament this week. I'm looking forward to it. I'm sure you'll be down there as well. Well, thanks a lot for coming tonight, Kiss. Appreciate it.
Well, I want this community to know we are tremendously indebted to you, Denholm, for the job that you do of making people aware of what's happening with our young people. And we are just so fortunate. I did happen to notice today when I was glancing at my computer that Randy Peterson is retiring.
He is.
Yes, and for years, you know, he covered us in the 70s and 80s till we could get you graduated.
Yeah.
But we are so fortunate to have you being such an advocate for all of the young people in this community.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, Kiss.
You bet.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs to develop long-lasting relationships and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I apologize for my weak voice tonight. I'm battling a little bit of a cold, but appreciate you putting up with that, and I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Boys basketball coach Brant Carlson, along with senior guards Kirsten Johnson and Leo Geary, and we finished off with Dave Kissinger to break down the Class 4A state tournament. Looking forward to a big week down there at Wells Fargo Arena. We probably won't have a podcast next week with spring break, but hopefully we'll be back in 2 weeks, so come back for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.